everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our show. Welcome to Buckmaster on April 19th, 2023. Tom, for our allergy sufferers, and I'm an occasional allergy sufferer as well, they really dread the Palo Verde season here. And as you've seen, those beautiful yellow flowers are coming out right now. And we've got some winds today, which might want to be a little red flag for folks going out. May want to
take it easy. It's going to be a bit breezy. The last week or so, I've seen that ash and mulberry have been pollinating, and they may be on the wane. So you're telling me that the Palo Verde are going to take up the slack?
Palo Verde will be very much prominent here in the next couple of weeks. But they certainly look nice. We love the Palo Verde trees, those yellow flowers. Anyway, our show, the Buckmaster Show, in our 13th year, broadcasting from the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio on the Bustos Media Tucson, the growing Bustos Media Tucson campus. Soon five radio stations under one roof here. But this radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. Our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine. She is also a professor of medicine at the university, a professor of medicine and public health. Internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, Dr. Mazes is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and pioneering change efforts that solve the American healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mazes co-hosts the podcast titled Body of Wonder with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes or find her at azcim.org. Dr. Mazes, how are you today?
I'm doing well, and happily I don't have allergies.
Boy, you really lucked out, didn't you? Wow.
I think so. I mean, the truth is that most people who are newcomers to Tucson won't have allergies because it takes a little time to have the kinds of reactions, the buildups of the body's immune system to the antigens, which in this case are the pollens, and to react to them by forming an allergic reaction. Now, I've lived here 25 years, so I don't have any excuse. I've lived here plenty of time, but I'm happy not to have them. I do have a couple of tips for your listeners, if you like.
Go ahead.
Well, there are a lot of antihistamine products that are over-the-counter, and those can help, and the newer ones are much less sedating, so that can help. But there are two natural products that I think your listeners might like to know about. One is called freeze-dried stinging nettles, and that's something that you can use if right now your eyes are tearing, your nose is running, you're sneezing, you got an itchy throat. It works a little like an antihistamine and helping to control the symptoms. The other is a product called quercetin, and this is a bioflavonoid. It's often found in vegetables, and it is a natural mast cell inhibitor. So the mast cells are the cells in your body that release histamine, and it is a much longer acting medicine. So for example, if you were put on a medicine called Intol or Cromolyn, that is a mast cell inhibitor of the pharmaceutical companies. The quercetin is the same in a natural product. You have to use quercetin through the whole allergy season as opposed to the freeze-dried stinging nettles, which are used as needed.
Any idea what percentage of Americans may have some form of allergies? You ever seen any Any figures on that? Is it 1 in 5, 2 in 5? What have you seen?
I don't know. Yeah. That's a really good question.
Is.
I know that the frequency of allergic and what we call atopic disease is increasing. And there's a lot of question about why that may be true. And some people think, this is going to sound funny to your listeners, but some people think it's because we are too clean.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, so it turns out that a little bit of dirt, especially organic dirt, is good for us. It is related to having a more diverse microbiome. And some of that research was actually carried out by University of Arizona researchers who looked at kids who are raised on farms. In some cases, the places where the animals were kept were quite close to the house. And those kids who were exposed to a lot of animals and a lot of dirt had much less asthma than the farms where the animals and the pens were a drive distance. So the kids were not getting exposed as much. And this is part of what we call the hygiene hypothesis, which basically says that we actually want our immune system to be exposed to some diverse and different kind of stimuli when we're young so that we tolerate diverse inputs, including the pollens that sometimes make us allergic.
Well, unfortunately, there is something that is very difficult to avoid when it comes to food, and that's these additives that are really have become almost a way of life on the culinary scene in the United States. But I see now we've got California and New York moving forward that would ban, in effect, I think, 5 chemicals that most often show up in baked goods, candy, and sodas.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see where we are similar to our European colleagues and where we're really quite different. So in this case, we're quite different from our European colleagues in that we allow red dye number 3, titanium dioxide, brominated vegetable oil, potassium bromate, and propylparaben in foods. And they're used for a variety of reasons. Some people may remember that Skittles got sued about a year ago. People said they were unfit for human consumption because they had titanium dioxide in them. That's a whitener and a color enhancer. It's not just in Skittles. It's also actually used in cottage cheese because it whitens things.
Huh.
Yeah, but the European Union outlawed titanium dioxide back in 2022 because it said that it can harm the immune system and it changes DNA.
Hmm. So these 5 chemicals, are they pretty darn common in this country?
They're very common, especially if you eat processed food. So, of course, if you're eating an apple, an orange, brown rice, a steak, you're not going to find these kinds of additives. This is really for things that are going to last on the shelf for a while. So potassium bromate, for example, is in baked goods. So bread and cookies and tortillas. It is a leavening agent. It improves texture, but it's thought to be possibly carcinogenic. Parabens also in baked goods and many cosmetics and personal care products. And maybe we'll get to that in terms of breast cancer risk later. But it's an endocrine disruptor, which means it changes the way our body's hormones work, which can be really problematic. It can change your thyroid. It can make you more likely to gain weight. We call that an obesogen effect. It can change your estrogen hormone, which increases your risk of breast cancer. So the best way really to avoid these kinds of chemicals until our government outlaws them is to eat less processed food.
The 5 chemicals, what about this? Is it pronounced erythritol? They've found that it's an artificial sweetener that is associated with increased risk of heart attack or stroke and or stroke.
Yes, so erythritol is not on the list of 5. It is, as you said, an artificial sweetener. It's a sugar alcohol. And we have not generally thought of sugar alcohols as dangerous, but a recent NIH-funded study that was carried out at the Cleveland Clinic showed that people who consume a lot of erythritol have this increased risk of death from all causes, of heart attacks, and of strokes.
So this is something we'll really have to keep an eye on. In the upcoming segment, I want to talk about maybe taking a look, a hard look at what's in your bathroom drawer, right? Because there may be some things in there that you do not want, correct, Dr. Mazes?
Yes, absolutely. And this is one of the places, just like choosing foods that are less processed, whole foods, we have choices about the products we put on our skin.
All right, we're going to pause right here, and I want to talk about a product that I love, and I know they use only the best ingredients at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. Get there early for the best selection of the items in the bakery case. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. More with Dr. Victoria Mazes right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, now in their 53rd year of business, open daily their website, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business on their 13-acre site is Zocalo Village. Some of the beautiful items, handcrafted, things like the mesquite wood dining room sets and the Talavera pottery at Zocalo Village, and their website is ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We resume now our monthly interview with our contributor on health, and we're glad to have her, Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. In our first segment, we were talking about chemical additives to food products. Now, Dr. Mazes, like to talk a little bit about additives to healthcare and hygiene products that are commonly found in everybody's bathroom drawer.
Yes. So one of the things that's quite interesting is we think, and you and I have talked a lot about exposures that we may get in the foods we eat. We've talked about organic. We've talked about the importance of Mediterranean diet. But people often don't think so much about the things they put on their skin. And yet, chemicals we put on our skin can be easily absorbed into the body. And so one really interesting research direction is, what's the impact of those chemicals? And we know that there is an increased risk that some of these chemicals can be what we call endocrine disruptors, which means that they interfere with the normal function of our hormones. And some of the ways they do this is they are what we call estrogen mimics. So the body responds to them as if there was excess estrogen. This could be true in men or women. Two common kinds of estrogen mimics are called phthalates and parabens, and they are widely used in shampoo, in deodorants, body lotions, sunscreens, nail polish, fragrance. And, you know, again, we tend not to think about these chemicals.
Well, one obvious question is, if anyone that has purchased sunscreen, you look at all of these chemicals and you need like a chemistry degree, maybe an advanced chemistry degree to kind of interpret all of it. But you wonder if some of these products are indeed risky for our health, why in the world, Dr. Mazes, did they ever get approved in the first place?
Well, that's such a great question, and there's a variety of reasons for it in that industry is often allowed to introduce chemicals into the marketplace without actually doing some of these studies that would prove that they are okay for human health. So while you would wish that might not be the case, it actually allows industry to put chemicals on the marketplace, and then researchers have to prove that they're dangerous. So it's a little bit backwards, in my opinion, of maybe how it ought to be happening in our world. This is a super interesting study that was done because, you know, one of the challenges of studying environmental chemicals is we can't really take a group of human beings and say, we're going to expose you to pesticides or to even those dyes we talked about in the first segment and see over the next 20 or 30 years how your health is compared to a group who somehow lives on a pristine island where they're never exposed to any kinds of environmental chemicals. Yeah. We can't do that because it's difficult, right? We're not going to be able to watch people over the decades that it may take a cancer to develop or infertility to develop or thyroid issues. So that's one reason it takes a long time. But the second reason is it's not ethical. How could we possibly expose someone to something we think might be dangerous? So there were these researchers who came up with such a creative way to look at this. What they did was they had a group of women volunteer to be in this study, and half of them were put on personal care products, soaps, shampoo, lotions, that had no parabens or phthalates. And these women were willing to have a long needle put into their breast and remove tissue both at the beginning of the study and then after a month of being off of all products. And they had a comparison group who didn't make any changes. And so in the women, they found that when they changed their behavior from using their normal kinds of products that included the parabens and the phthalates to being completely off them for a month, their breast tissue had fewer cancer-associated changes. This is an epigenetic change where we can see that removing these chemicals reduce their risk of developing breast cancer.
Ingrid has called with a very good question. Go ahead, Ingrid. You're with Dr. Mazes.
I'm so happy that this is being studied. Men recently, more so than in the past, are having reproductive difficulties too. And it came to my attention anyway that hair colorants are a culprit. If that's true, can you address that? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ingrid.
Thanks for that question. Yes, hair color is associated actually with bladder cancer. And so it is one of the chemicals that are in things that we put on our bodies that can be a problem. Other kinds of hair products contain formaldehyde, especially the straightening products that are sometimes used for people who have very curly or frizzy hair, and those can have a variety of health consequences. Now, I always like to say the perfect is the enemy of the good, because, you know, you hear this stuff and you just feel, oh my God, it's overwhelming. These are everywhere and I'm in trouble. But the good news is, you know, you said sunscreen, for example. Mm-hmm. So the environmental working group lists, and now there are 100 products on their list of good sunscreens, sunscreens that pass their test of not having these dangerous chemicals on them. The Environmental Working Group has a really lovely free app. It's called Healthy Living. And you can download that app if you have a smartphone, and you can scan the barcodes of products. And it tells you how it rates in terms of, is there a risk of it being a carcinogen? Is there a risk of what Ingrid brought up, where it could be a reproductive toxicant, where it interferes with either male or female fertility? It shows you the risk. This is Bill, you brought this up at the very beginning, of is it an allergen? So it increases your risk of having allergic reactions. And this is a really great tool for consumers to help decide, I do want to buy this product or I don't. Now, in the early years, I have to say, when I was buying clean shampoo, it didn't sud. You know, you'd wash your hair and you'd go, well, it still feels dirty. And that was not satisfying. But now you have, of course, all of these wonderful reviews if you go online, and you can find perfectly satisfying shampoos and conditioners. So I say, think about the things you do every single day. You know, if every single day you're washing your hair with a shampoo that has phthalates and parabens, maybe find a better one. If you're using deodorant every day, which many people are, then ditto. Whereas if, you know, once a month you're going out to a restaurant and the food may have one of those artificial colorants that we talked about, or an artificial sweetener, that small exposure is probably not the issue. It's the things that you're exposed to daily.
And again, that website, would you give us that information again, please?
Yes. It is the Environmental Working Group. So if you Google them, they have a terrific website. It's ewg.org. And they have a free app called Healthy Living that you could find on their website that really can help you choose the best possible products.
And many of the products will list if you're at the pharmacy or at the drugstore. Paraben-free is what you want to look for. And the other one is pronounced again.
Phthalate.
Phthalate.
It's
yeah.
a funny spelling.
It is.
PH and yes, PHTH. That's a hard thing to pronounce, but it's phthalate. So you do want to find products that are free of parabens and phthalates.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mays, is always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Stay healthy. Thank you. All right. Dr. Victoria Mazes co-hosts the podcast Body of Wonder with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes, and that's M-A-I-Z-E-S, or you can find her at azcim.org, and the AZCIM standing for the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. We're going to take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show midweek edition. We'll talk travel with Ryan Hansen right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Time for insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen. Mr. Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage travel experts are standing by right now to create your trip of a lifetime. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley, and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com, your first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan Hansen, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Bill. Good to talk to you.
Always a pleasure, and we are closing out April here, mid-April, getting into late April. It's really the beginning of the Alaskan cruise season.
It definitely is. As you know, cruising to Alaska just doesn't happen in those very frigid, cold winter months. The ports of call are very, very much tourist centers. And so you wouldn't want to go up to Alaska in January or February. You wouldn't have a lot to do. It would be cold and you could experience Alaska, but not the same way as you would with the season starting up here in earnest in the next week or so. I would say this is what we refer to as the shoulder season, or the first couple of weeks of cruising in particular in Alaska in the latter part of April and the first part of May. And then it stretches into September, as you know, Bill. Mm-hmm. But some of the cruise lines are actually starting to have itineraries into October, which those would be now termed as our shoulder season. So it's just a part of the year, but this is when Alaska comes alive. And I mean that primarily because of the wildlife is now going to be visible. If you went in January and February, those bears are hibernating, buddy. They're not out and about. So you want to see the bears, you want to see the whales migrating, and you wouldn't get a chance to see those wonderful creatures if you were up there at the wrong time of the year.
I have visited two out of the three times we have journeyed to Alaska have been in the merry month of May, and it is a beautiful season in Alaska with still plenty of snow on the mountains, very scenic, really a great time to sample Alaska.
Yeah, and right now, in fact, when you say the sampler plate of Alaska, I'm actually headed out on an Alaska cruise this Saturday. Mm. And it's only one way that you can see Alaska. There's a number of different ways to see it. I'm happening to see it as what maybe a first-timer would want to see Alaska, just a basic, I say basic only because of the length of time and the itinerary, not because of what we're going to get to do on it. It's a seven-night cruise that departs out of Seattle and just takes you up through the Inside Passage, hitting the three primary ports of call on an Inside Passage cruise, which would include Juneau, Skagway, and Ketchikan. And it can be either Skagway or Sitka. Those are kind of they could be interchangeable ports of call, but we'll go through Glacier National Park, through Glacier Bay, and get up close and personal to the icebergs. So this cruise is in Seattle, out of and come back to Seattle. So it's perfect for your Tucson resident like myself. I'm taking the Alaska nonstop flight up on Friday to catch the cruise on Saturday, which, by the way, Bill, there are a few priorities that you would want. If this cruise sounds of interest to you, I'll be sailing on the Norwegian Bliss. It's about a 3,000-passenger ship with lots of restaurants, lots of things to do on ship, but I'll be off ship a number of times for some excursions. But there's really four priorities, Bill, that I want to recommend for people that I will be doing as well. One of them is go up on Friday. Enjoy Seattle. Get there the night before for multiple reasons. Enjoy the destination of Seattle, but also in case you have flight challenges, which do happen periodically, you don't want to miss that ship. Much more difficult to catch up to a ship in this day and age. The second priority is I'm sailing in a balcony stateroom. Must have on an Alaskan cruise because you want to see those icebergs. You want when the captain says, whales off the starboard bow, you might be relaxing in your stateroom. And if you have to run upstairs to get to the top deck because you're in an inside stateroom or you just peer out your window, it's not the Alaska experience you signed up for. Just walk out onto your balcony. The crisp, cool air, I think it's going to be about 50 degrees when we're up there. Maybe a little cooler for some. Go later in the season if that's you, but right onto our balcony. And then two more priorities, Bill, I wanted to touch on, that is the excursions. We're going to be on one of the railroad trips, the historic, iconic Skagway Railroad, to where they were panning for gold. Really awesome experience that's authentic to Alaska. So make time for those excursions while you're there. Don't just think you're going to be on ship the whole time. And then, as I touched on before, Glacier Bay National Park is a must for any cruiser. There's other iconic Icelandic bays that you can go into, but Glacier Bay is second to none.
And of course, the folks like in Ketchikan welcoming the tourists back, because things were very quiet there for a couple of years, but I guess we're back to pre-pandemic levels, Ryan Hansen?
Yes, not only are we back to pre-pandemic levels in regards to the number of travelers, which is an interesting number. Pre-pandemic levels, Bill, get this. There's about, according to the census right before the pandemic, 733,000 residents in the state of Alaska. And most people probably would think about that many, right? Lots of land, not a lot of people. But the number of tourists that we expect to go to Alaska this year will be north of 1 million people. So more tourists will touch Alaska this year than those residents that live in Alaska. And that is great news for the return of travel. Wonderful news for those port calls like a Ketchikan or a Skagway or Juneau in this case that we're on, but even up into Seward, which is the port that services Anchorage, so reliant, the economic drivers of many of those towns are the tourists. And so getting that back up to normal, 2020 completely wiped off the map, no cruising. 2021, very little. It was about a 6 to 8 week season that happened, so very few people went. And even last year, the ship numbers were up, the beds that you could sleep in, that was back to normal, but they were still ships not taking full capacity because we were coming out of COVID with the vaccination policies, et cetera. This year, there will be more cruise lines sailing to Alaska than ever before.
Wow.
It is truly, pardon the ironic twist here, it's the hottest destination for a U.S. traveler.
Well, when you live in the desert, as we do, Alaska has always had a wonderful appeal to desert dwellers. So folks listening to this right now, I'm sure there are many that have been on Alaska cruising. They would be considered repeat cruisers. How do you define the repeat cruiser versus, say, a cruise tour?
That's a great question, because we do have lots of folks from our business here that we've sent there because of the hot nature of the summer and folks want to be out of the desert. And if they've done that Inside Alaska 7-night Inside Passage cruise, you may see, oh, I've seen Alaska. Oh, you've just seen it from the water and just a very small sliver of the excitement that you can see. So for a repeat cruiser, a repeat traveler to Alaska, we would offer and recommend a few different ways to see it. I would start with what's called in our business a cruise tour. So you take a cruise, typically sails in or out of Vancouver or Anchorage, and you can go northbound or southbound, but you tack on a land-based experience that gets you into Denali National Park, where now you're taking the railroad from Anchorage up into Denali, and you're staying at one of the beautiful lodges up there, and you can really appreciate Alaska from sunup to sundown in a lodge experience where you're doing day trips, going out looking for grizzly bears and looking for other wildlife, and you really can experience the rugged, authentic nature experience of Alaska much more with that land package either added to the front end of a cruise and start your cruise experience in Anchorage, or the back end of the cruise and start your cruise in Vancouver and make your way up to Anchorage and add on. That cruise tour is phenomenal. I know you really do love the land piece of Alaska, and you've done that a number of times, Bill.
We have. We've done it a couple of times over to Denali. I highly recommend to see the big mountain. And, you know, you were mentioning about maybe the first-time cruiser, and we'll talk a little bit more about the first-time cruiser or maybe the non-cruiser after the break. But when you talk about kind of the all-inclusive experience, you really can go at any level of luxury, Ryan Hansen.
You're right. There's an Alaska cruise experience really for every budget and every type of traveler. If you want to just pay for the cruise and add on your excursions because you're not sure what you want to do yet, that's for you. But if you're looking for the full Alaska experience, we would absolutely recommend a more all-inclusive, like a Regent Seven Seas cruise, which means free, unlimited shore excursions. That's what Regent prides themselves on. It's a little bit of an elevated experience on ship, but then your shore excursions are included. So if you want to take one in every port and it's a special excursion that you're like, oh, do I really want to pay $250 per person, which sometimes that's what the excursions cost in Alaska, that's included in your cruise price, and you get all of the other inclusions like drink packages and elevated experiences with larger staterooms, all balcony ships. You don't even have to worry about booking a balcony because every room on the ship for Regent Seven Seas Explorer is a balcony, so you don't even have to worry about that. So that all-inclusive experience just makes it a much more well-rounded vacation.
And some of these cruise ships now, you mentioned that you'll be sailing on a ship with, I believe, that will accommodate 3,000 passengers, but maybe somebody would like to go on an Alaskan cruise that maybe accommodates 300 passengers.
And we have that. You're right. And what's special and unique about the 300-passenger ships, one of our favorite partners, their name is called Uncruise, and it's kind of a unique name, right? Uncruise,
yeah.
Well, that means not cruise. No,
yes.
It's actually cruising from a totally different perspective. They get to go into ports of call that maybe you or I can't find on a map because the size of the ship allows them to navigate shallower waters and ports of call that are really not touristy. That have all the tourist amenities that you might have with restaurants and shops, but maybe that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for an experience. I want to go fishing, and I want it to be close to where we're pulling in to dock. The Uncruise experience would be for you, a Seabourn experience. Seabourn's another great cruise partner of ours that has smaller ships. It's not 300. It's closer to 500 in Alaska, but again, these ports of call are so super unique. It changes your perspective, especially if you've been on one of those large vessels before and you just don't like the number of people on and off the ship. You can dock in a place called Wrangell, Alaska. Doesn't that sound like Alaska to you? Well, guess what? You'll be the only ship in port there. It'll be just you guys. Now, that could be the experience that makes sense for you.
All right, coming up after the break on Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen, 5 must-do for the cruiser as we continue with Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studio. The Silver City Blues Festival coming up May 27th in Silver City, only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. It's May 27th, Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy music, dancing, food, and some national performers taking the stage at the Blues Festival. This free festival features some of the brightest rising stars of blues, as well as classic season performers who have toured the world. More at southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen, and we're previewing the Alaskan cruise season. Ryan will be off on a wonderful 7-day cruise to Alaska this weekend. Let's talk a little bit, Ryan Hansen, about let's say you're a first-time cruiser, what are some must-dos?
Oh, there's some on this list that, Bill, I would say work for any cruise, but some on this list that you definitely would only experience in Alaska. And I'll start with the first one, which is one of the main reasons people go to Alaska, and that is you better make time for wildlife. So as you are planning your excursions or thinking about what even you're going to do on ship, as we mentioned, the captain could say whales on at 12 o'clock. You know, you got to be prepared to jump up and go look, because that's why you're there. We've spotted a bald eagle on the starboard side on the island, which are amazing to see. But if you're not ready to see that, and you're in the casino or you're taking a nap where you are like, hey, this is my relaxation cruise, Alaska is a little bit more active. So when you're looking at your excursions, you want to go whale watching in Juneau. We talked about taking that extension of the cruise tour and getting up into Denali and go with the guides that'll take you to where grizzly bears can be seen from a safe distance. Of course, this isn't an interactive animal experience, but it's also not Disneyland where it's cue the bears in Frontierland. They don't work like that. But the Alaska Big Five, from a wildlife standpoint, everybody talks about the Big Five on the continent of Africa, but you might not know Alaska's Big Five, and those are grizzly bear, moose, wolf, the Dall sheep, and caribou. So that might be a good question, a trivia question for, I should have asked you if you knew who the Big Five were. Did you know those Alaska Big Five?
No, I'm glad you didn't ask me. Because I didn't really know the Big Five in Alaska. I knew the Big Five in Africa, but not Alaska. Wow.
Yeah, I have yet to see all of those. I've can check off two of the five. I still need to see the wolf, Dall sheep, and caribou, and I probably will not see those on this Inside Passage cruise. You're going to have to get a little bit more into the land portion of Alaska to see those three. But Bill, in addition to making time for wildlife, one of the things you've got to do, and I mentioned it earlier, is ride the White Pass and Yukon Railroad in Skagway. It's a really iconic and historic railroad line that was built back in the 1800s for the first settlers in that area for Alaska, moving goods and during the gold rush in the 1800s. And so it just brings you back to yesteryear. So for those history buffs that want to combine some wildlife but then also see some great historical sites, I will be on the rail in Skagway next Tuesday, so I can even report back with a personal experience from that. But another must-do, Bill, and this might catch you off guard, because if I said, where should you go in the world for great cuisine, you might think, oh, I need to go to the Mediterranean. Mediterranean cruise is the iconic cuisine lovers cruise itinerary. Well, don't forget Alaska, because the Alaska salmon, any which way you cook it, is phenomenal.
Love it.
How about some, have you ever sampled reindeer sausage?
Let's see. We had the last time we were in Alaska, we had reindeer meat in spaghetti. It was unbelievable.
Oh, there you go.
I had it, I think, two or three straight nights. I loved it so much.
Oh, that's great. It's a versatile food, actually, right? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And this goes back again to the native Alaskans and how they prepared their meat. So you really tie into that cultural experience through food, which is something you and I share a passion for, of getting close to the locals, but doing it through cuisine. But in addition to that, don't miss the king crab legs. How about berry cobbler? Mm. Alaska is certainly well known for its berries, from blueberries to cloudberries and lingonberries. Sampling that on a cobbler sampler plate, I'm getting hungry as we speak, Bill. But let's get off of the food, or you and I are going to just, we'll never stop talking about that. But one of the other things you must do is get close to glaciers. And it's not just sailing through the inside passages and seeing through Glacier Bay National Park. It's on your excursions, if you can walk, if you can hike up to Mendenhall Glacier, if you can get on a helicopter and see it from the air up close, how about a dog sled experience on Hubbard Glacier? These are all different ways to experience glaciers. And you and I, the largest glacier we see in Tucson is made in your ice box. It's an ice cube. That's as close as we can get to a glacier here. So you might as well get off ship and get close to glaciers. I don't know if you've had a glacier experience, Bill, before, but it's phenomenal.
Oh, I have. And I've also had a dog sled experience at Denali, where we went and visited all the dogs and how they are trained for the dog sleds. And I'll never forget it. I loved it.
One of the things we've heard from many of our travelers that sail on Princess cruises and in some of the ports of call is they'll bring the puppies in training that are getting ready to become the sled dogs. They'll bring the puppies on ship and let you play with the puppies and hang around with them. What a fun experience to see what they will grow into, but see them as little pups. But the other couple of things one more thing I would mention that is a absolute must do is you got to get out of town. Don't just get off ship in Ketchikan and walk the streets. You can do that and have a wonderful time. Grab a local brew at one of the pubs, hit a salmon bake close to town. That's wonderful. But don't forget, it can be an adventure lover's paradise with hiking, kayaking, zip lining, fishing. All different types of adventure seekers can find their passion in Alaska, either on a cruise or a land-based vacation could be even better, where you could go very rugged and go glamping in Alaska, which is just a step up from the real pitch-your-own-tent experience, but be in a fortified tent, sleeping outdoors. We can set that up as well.
Well, you can pretty much set up anything to do with Alaska, because Bon Voyage and your team, Ryan Hansen, they are Alaska travel experts. Want to wish you all the best. I'd add one more quick thing that I very much have enjoyed over the years in Alaska is the First Nation, the native art in Alaska. There's some great art to enjoy and purchase. So there's one more thing for you.
I love it. Bill, you always bring me something good. Every time we talk travel, you've got a great experience. I appreciate jumping on with you, Bill.
Thanks very much. BVTravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Thank you, Ryan. Safe cruising. Have a wonderful time, and we'll look forward to hearing about your trip. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, that's going to do it. On behalf of Ryan Hansen and Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.